Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Campus Book Mart is the one and only stop for the real Southern Miss fan. From hats to sweaters and even jerseys, Campus Book Mart has you covered with all the essentials for the Southern Miss football season. With sizes from toddler to large and in charge, there is no reason to shop anywhere else. Call 601-261-9690 or visit campusbookmart.net. Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street across from USM in Hattiesburg.
Free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Wednesday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Glad you're with us. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob Kelly, Dima, the whole group, and we're glad to have you with us today. Opening segment, as it is every day, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great place to cater if you're going to tailgate this weekend. Be a great place to call. Holidays coming up, great place to cater your church, business activities, whatever. They just do a wonderful job, and they're great folks out at Dickey's Barbecue, so we thank them for all they do. Steve Cotton is the play-by-play voice of the Marshall Thundering Herd, and they'll be rolling into town here this weekend to take on the Golden Eagles, and we're going to be talking to Steve here momentarily. Also want to remind you real quickly, we're going to be at Columbia tomorrow. Got a two-hour show. Got a lot of good folks lined up. We'll go down that lineup with you a little later in this hour, but 2 hours tomorrow from Columbia. Kelly and I will be down there, and I always look forward to being with Carolyn and Lori and those great folks at the Marion County Development Partnership. Okay, this is a sports talk show, but obviously there's a giant elephant in everybody's room across the nation, and that's because it's always special. Kelly, you and I have been around long enough to know that every 4 years, it's always special to watch the presidential election. It reminds us of the greatness of our country, and here's what I was talking to my wife about this morning, and you guys can obviously pitch in. What yesterday reminded me of was that every now and then the American people have to remind politicians and the elites in the country who really runs the United States of America. And it's the man and the woman that get up and go to work every day and pay their mortgage and take care of their kids and love their grandkids and go to church and try to be the best person they can be. That's America, Kelly Sander, and America spoke last night. Whether you like it or not, America spoke pretty clearly.
When politicians get a little bit too big for their britches, they get a switch across the rear end, which is being voted out of office. I know that Joe Getty, when Bob Getty got out of too big for his britches, what did Joe Getty do?
Put me in my place.
Exactly.
Yes, right.
And that's what happened yesterday. And obviously a mandate by the Republican Party, but as a person who's pro-American, and I kind of was talking with you guys about this earlier, and I know it just happened last night, but if the Republicans wind up winning the House, they've already won the Senate, they're going to take the White House, they have no excuse not to roll up their sleeves and get some stuff done.
And if they
don't, then we'll put a switch across their rear end and kick them out, too. Politicians work for us. We do not work for them.
1,000%. Dima, you're the first person in years that has texted me at 1:30 in the morning, and I was awake. but you were pretty pumped last night, young man.
Yes. I mean, it was a resounding reminder, like you just said, that the American public decide what happens in these elections. It's not the mainstream media. It's not the polls. It's not anything other than the votes. And when you look at the comeback that former President Trump and now President-elect Donald Trump had, it is nothing short of remarkable of what he has been through to get to this moment that he had last night. I mean, when you think of everything that's happened since he left office, they've tried to imprison him. They have pretty much bankrupt him in the New York civil case. They put him in a courtroom for 8 weeks over the hush money case. He had three other pending legal charges. He was shot in the ear. He survived assassination attempt. He survived two assassination attempts. He has been named Hitler. He's been named Nazis. He's been named anybody who follows them is garbage. And the country resoundingly rejected that from the mainstream media last night. And that is that's the clear answer, that everything that they have pushed has been wrong, and that's not what the country thinks.
My son this morning said, "Dad, what do you think you swung it for Trump?" And again, this is perhaps oversimplistic, but I said, "Son, as long as I've been alive, which is 63 years, and I suspect as long as I will continue to live, you can talk about all these other issues." And I don't know if it was James Carville that said it years ago, but it's the economy, stupid.
Right.
Nothing else matters.
Right.
And I had shared with Dima and Bob, there was an Uber driver that was in Tampa, Florida, was taking me to where I was going, and he happened to be of Haitian descent. And I asked him, I said, "How did you feel about, you know, Mr. Trump saying these things?" He said, "Everybody knows what Donald Trump is about." He said, I'm not offended that he said that. You know, and if you're going to be a man in this country, you got to have thick skin to a degree. But he said, the bottom line is this. When Mr. Trump was president, this was my Haitian Uber driver saying this, when Mr. Trump was president, I was making money. He said, "I'm not making money anymore. I've got to take extra shifts just to live the way that I have to live."
Right.
And he said, "That's it for me. Bottom line, first issue, last issue, it's the economy."
Well, we saw that man from the north, man from the south, man from the west, black man, white man,
Latinos.
Latino yeah. man. They all feel the same. I'm trying to take care of my family. Help me. Don't right. hinder me.
Right. And you saw that early on in the night, that you thought that when those CNN exit polls came out, and you take exit polls by a grain of salt generally, but you had, you know, him just crushing her on the economy, crushing her in the immigration, which has been consistently the top two issues in this election. And when you saw that the disproportionate about where do you, you know, it was like 81% of the electorate thought the economy was the top issue. And when you saw that number, that's when I think the immediate moment I thought that, man, yeah. this could get interesting.
And to reinforce it, by the way, I don't know, before airtime, the stock market was up 1,300 points today.
Yeah, I like that. Kelly, is it, going back to politicians, is it arrogance? Is it being out of touch? Who thinks it's a good idea to call Americans garbage, Nazis, fascists? Who thinks that's a winning formula?
You got me. Obviously, the American electorate, you know, doesn't. But it's part. It's both, Bob. All politicians seem to live in this bubble, right? That where they don't have to worry about the price of health care. They've got the best health care plan
That's
in
right.
the world.
That's right.
They don't live in the world that the rest
no,
of us do.
They do not.
And if we're not going to do term limits, for heaven's sakes, do age limits. Nancy Pelosi is 84 years old. Chuck Schumer is in his 80s. Now, they're Democrats, but on yeah. the Republican
Mitch
side.
Mitch McConnell. Chuck
Grassley's 90.
Yeah,
I mean, and why? And I will defend the younger generation, Dima's generation, by saying this. Why should 90-year-olds be able to make laws that they're not going to have to be around to abide by?
I totally agree. I think it's time for a new generation of young politicians. Myself.
And that's selfishly, and you know, I, that's why I'm kind of glad that President-elect Trump is only in there for one term. You know, he's 78.
Right.
You know, he doesn't need to be in there at 82, 83. Like, if hypothetically Biden would have won, you know, obviously he dropped out. But if he would have won, he would have been 81 at the start of his second term. I mean, that's just crazy.
Well, love him, hate him. He is the toughest dude I have ever seen in my life.
And again, whether you'd like him or didn't vote for him or whatever, it's like other candidates that have won that I didn't vote for. I pray for them.
Right.
I pray for their safety. I pray for their clarity. Because, look, whoever is in charge at whatever level, if they succeed, we all succeed.
Correct. Right.
And that's the bottom line.
Well, and I'll let me say this, and then we'll move on. I didn't vote for Joe Biden, would never vote for Joe Biden. But this is a day that, in a sense, I'm grateful for what Joe Biden has done for the country. I mean, I thought he got railroaded, and I think that had something to do with the election. I think what happened to him was just plain wrong. But Joe Biden served the country a long time, and I think he should be treated with the same dignity and respect that I hope the left is going to treat Donald Trump with this time around. But I don't know, Dima, are they?
We'll see. We'll see. We got a fun 4 years in front of us. At least
it was
in my
fun.
Opinion.
There's just nothing like it to me. It's just it's America, man.
And personally, I'm just glad it's over.
I'm glad it's over.
We don't have to watch the political ads on TV anymore. No more. My phone isn't blown up with texts.
You know, it reminded me in part last night how much fun it used to be when I was a TV reporter to cover politics. I just loved it, man. It was exciting, and I know you've done that, and
yes,
you've done it for Super Talk.
I have.
And personally, I would just say I think it was good for the country that we didn't have to wait days and weeks and for the election 100%. Results. We got a result by 1 a.m. last night.
Well,
that's pretty good.
I want to say this. I was wearing a hat that said MEGA, and people said, "What does MEGA stand for?" I said, "It stands for Make the Eagles Great Again."
Yes, but they're eating the dogs, Kelly. They're eating the dogs and the cats, Kelly.
Hey, if it'll help us beat Marshall, I'm all for it.
Well, speaking of quick responses and answers, we'll get it at about 5 o'clock Saturday afternoon, how the Golden Eagles match up against Marshall. And Steve Cotton knows a lot about the Thundering Herd. He's our next guest. We're going to shift back to what we're supposed to be doing, sports.
We could not talk about it.
We could not talk about the presidential election. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, Campus Bookmark sponsors this segment of the program on Hardy Street. Great place to visit before the game Saturday. You'll find all the Southern Miss apparel you could imagine for your body, for your house, for your home. Great Christmas gift ideas as well. Campus Bookmark, campusbookmark.net. And let me mention Dima's favorite, Into Bay spring water. Don't start grinning. Mississippi owned and operated Into Bay Springs Water is from natural spring water, Dima, Stone County, Mississippi. I want you to know that. Dima, it's premium water with unmatched purity. Dima, nothing is stripped, nothing is added. Dima, it's freshness you can taste and hydration you can feel. And Dima, you can find it at corner markets here in the Pine Belt and certain Walmarts. Give it a try. You deserve Into Bay.
I do.
You do. Steve Cotton, we'd give him a bottle of Into Bay water if he were here. And we had a bottle, but we're glad to have him on the show nevertheless. Steve, welcome back to the Eagle Hour. Always fun talking to you about Marshall.
Well, and I am glad to be returning to Hattiesburg and The Rock for the first Marshall Southern Miss football game in 6 years.
Is that right?
It used to be an every year kind of thing, but we've not met on the gridiron since 2018, so it's good to get that rolling again.
It sure is. You know, we were talking about your team earlier this week on the program, and Is it fair to say that that Marshall has been a pleasant surprise, maybe doing better than the experts predicted they would do?
Well, from the standpoint of the preseason prediction, the poll from the league coaches, yes, because Marshall was picked down toward the bottom of the East Division and has instead turned in, a pretty solid year in Sunbelt play thus far with a 3-1 record, and the one really sticks in the craw of everybody in the Herd Nation because it was all but in the bag at Georgia Southern a few weeks ago. Marshall had a 20-point lead with 5 minutes to go in the game and had everything you could have go wrong happen, and ended up losing that game by a point. But that being said, you're talking about, other than five really bad minutes, a solid and even better than solid Sun Belt football season so far for Marshall.
Steve, when you talk about Marshall being, you know, somewhat of a surprise based on that preseason projection, even though Southern Miss was not thought very highly of, I would dare say, and I'd like to get you to comment as an outsider looking in, I don't think any of us here in the Eagle Nation would have projected what has happened this year with Southern Miss. Really, really a tough year.
No, and Coach Huff talked about that, had his preseason or his weekly press conference, I should say, with all the media members yesterday, and said, you know, sometimes things go poorly. You have the bad breaks, the bad bounces, something just isn't right. But what he pointed out is that, number one, Southern Miss still has the roster, has the players that he thought would make this team more than solid this year. And number two, despite what they've gone through, he has said, and he said this many times over the years, he believes that the most resilient people on the planet are males between the ages of 18 and 23, that they can bounce back from things a lot quicker than most of us who have a few more years under our belt, so to speak. And he said the thing that everybody who's on a college football team has in common, just about everybody, is that they love football. Why else would you put yourself through what these guys do for 350 some days a year so you can go out there on those 12, maybe 13, if you're really good, 14 Saturdays? So everybody has that in their heart, and the Golden Eagles have had a week to kind of process everything, get the new system, whatever has changed, in place. And so he is not overlooking this game by any means. He thinks this is a dangerous week potentially for the Thundering Herd.
Well, and I also think, because of the fact that you guys are right in the thick of the Eastern Division, you know, because Eagle fans have said, well, what are the chances the Herd are overlooking us? And I said, man, they're in the thick of winning the East and potentially playing in the Sun Belt Championship. No chance. So tell us, break it down for us. Where do you guys sit in the East? What has to happen for you to be number one at the end of the year?
Well, Marshall, if it were to win out, the only thing that's not in the Herd's control is that it needs Georgia Southern to lose one more game. And we'll see. And you know, and even if Georgia Southern were to win out, and I don't think anything, like we've already mentioned here, is a given in the Sun Belt. There's not that much difference between the top-tier teams and the teams down in the standings. So you have all that to fight for. You think if you could win four games to end the year, there's still a pretty good chance that you're going to be able to play in that league championship game. So you have that as fodder to keep the fire stoked. And on the other side of things, Marshall's guys also know you're on the countdown now. There are a bunch of Marshall had an unusual situation where last week, guys, the Herd went through its senior day ceremony before its game over ULM, because Marshall's last home game a week from Saturday is the game where the memorial game, the 75 game, we call it up here,
yeah,
the date that's closest to the November 14th anniversary of the 1970 plane crash, and that's a special day. So they already wanted to separate, keep that day kind of sacred for what it is, keep senior day or made senior day earlier so the guys could have the whole focus. More than 20 players walked on senior day, and that really, I think, drove into their minds that they're on the countdown, and everything is, you know, amped up a little bit because of that. So I think, you know, it's kind of unusual that Marshall did it that way because of the way the schedule fell this year, but I think that probably made it, you know, made everybody cognizant even more so than they normally would that, hey, don't mess around. One game can really put a bad tint on what you want to accomplish this year.
You know, when we talked to Coach Huff at Sunbelt Media Day, he talked about how you could make a lot of comparisons to Marshall and Southern Miss, but because both of them were picked kind of lower on the preseason poll. But he felt like both of them were kind of the sleeper picks. And now as we're seeing that to fruition, you just mentioned it, how if they win out, they're in a good position to win the East. And, you know, they still have to go on the road to James Madison, and I think y'all still play App State. But, I mean, you sort of control your own destiny there. What has made that the case? Is that the defense or the offense more, or is it just kind of a team effort with all those seniors that you just were talking about?
Well, it's definitely the team effort, but there are some standouts on both sides of the football. Start with offense, and it's been a bit of an unusual year in that we've seen two quarterbacks, Stone Earl and Braylon Braxton, both transfer portal guys who shared starts, have shared playing time fairly equally. And it's, you know, Earl was the starter the first four games of the year. Braxton, who's a transfer from Tulsa, has started three of the last four, including the last two games. And people sort of think of Braxton as more of the runner and Earl more of the passer, but they both have multiple capabilities out there. Braxton throws the ball well enough, certainly. Earl is the number four rusher on the team, even though he's the second quarterback in rushing numbers. So he's an athletic guy too. But the way that Marshall has been able to move the ball with the quarterbacks, and then there has been a special running back this year. You know, Charles Huff, as the Herd's head coach, came to Marshall after years and years as a running backs coach. And at Penn State, he coached Saquon Barkley. At Alabama, most recently, before he came to Marshall, Najee Harris was one of his pupils. He talks to those guys all the time. They stay in touch with him. And he's sort of the running back whisperer. In his first 3 years at Marshall, he's had guys who went well over 1,000 yards each year. Rasheen Ali did it twice. Kalen Laburn, 1 year when Ali was hurt 2 years ago, ran for close to 1,500 yards. This year, it's a redshirt sophomore, A.J. Turner, who has run for nearly 800 yards in Marshall's eight games. He is among the national leaders, guys. How about 9.2 yards per carry? That's kind of a crazy number. He's the only guy in the country who has two runs of more than 80 yards on the year. Two games back, he sealed the deal. It was a tight game right at the end, and he went 88 yards to score the touchdown that kind of gave Marshall the win against Georgia State in a Thursday night game. I'm sure a lot of people saw that one. He's been a special running back, and when you talk about those two quarterbacks throwing their passes, you can't just look at one guy and say, shut him down, because that's the main cog. Now, Christian Fitzpatrick does stand out. He'll be wearing number 16 Saturday, and he's 6'4 and over 220 pounds, and is a big play receiver, averages over 15 yards per catch, but he only has 25 catches on the year. Marshall spreads it out among a lot of folks, tight ends, running backs, catch passes as well. So the offense has been kind of balanced that way, and whether it's Stone Earl at quarterback or Braylon Braxton, you've got to watch the quarterback run game as well as what they can do through the air.
Steve, you got a few more minutes you can spend with us?
Sure.
All right, Steve Cotton's a play-by-play voice of the Marshall Thundering Herd. Talk to him about their experience in the Sun Belt, a little more about Saturday's matchup as well. We'll have more with Steve on the other side of the break. Remind you about Mo Bay Beignet Company, official beignet store of the Eagle Hour, 2902 Hardy Street, Hattiesburg. Check out their Facebook page. And don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the program. 4th Street Bar Grill sponsors this segment of our show, and it's a great place to have lunch, as you know, right there in the shadow of the rock. If you can't make it to the ball game Saturday afternoon, I guarantee it'll be on every TV in the building, and you'll enjoy yourself and the camaraderie that is always taking place at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Continue our conversation with Steve Cotton, who's the play-by-play voice of the Marshall Thundering Herd. Before we get to another subject we wanted to talk to you about, just give us a quick breakdown, Steve. What are the strengths of this Marshall team when they get in here Saturday? What are the Golden Eagles going to have to do, do you think, to have any chance to compete and win the game?
Well, one of the things that a person to watch, let me give you this, when Marshall's on defense, keep your eye on Mike Green, defensive end number 15. He is, well, I started to say quietly, really it's not been quietly, putting together one of the most dominant seasons I've ever seen by a Marshall defensive lineman. He leads the nation in tackles by a lineman, 55 of them. He is second or third or fourth in all of the big numbers. Quarterback sacks, he has 10. He has 14 and a half tackles for loss. And that is while being double-teamed or even, you know, they might double-team him and then have a running back ready to help out on him, which opens up the rest of the defensive line to create their havoc. So Marshall's done a good job of getting pressure on the quarterback. Now, they talked a lot this week about, pressure on the quarterback is one thing, but Ethan Crawford's a guy who can burn you, so you have to be disciplined, keep him in the pocket, that kind of thing. So that's been a big focus, but number 15, Mike Green, is a blur out there, and unless you get two bodies on him and sometimes that third, he's really something to watch. The strength of Marshall has, not necessarily X's and O's, has been coming out and getting out to a quick start. Where the Herd needs to get better is to finish strong. Marshall, most of the time, has, other than when they're playing at Ohio State early in the year, that's just an entirely different animal, but has jumped out, had good starts, has had a not comfortable but a sizable lead at halftime, but has not been able to kind of just put the opponent away and has had most of the games come down to right at the end. And that's what cost Marshall then with a couple of turnovers, three turnovers, as a matter of fact, in the last 5 minutes. And that's how they lost their 20-point lead at Georgia Southern right at the end of the game. So they've gotten off to quick starts. They've had a good game plan going in, but they've not been able to finish the deal as easily or as forcefully as the coaching staff would like.
So you guys came to, Marshall came into the Sun Belt the same time Southern Miss did. We were Conference USA buddies. What's been the experience overall, Steve, and generally positive feedback?
Yeah, our fans have more games that they can travel to reasonably with Appalachian State, which was an old Marshall foe in the 1970s into the 90s. The two teams were both in the Southern Conference back then in the what we now call FCS, but the 1AA days. Georgia Southern was also a member of the Southern Conference. It's a five-hour drive to, or less than a five-hour drive to get to Boone, North Carolina. It's a five-hour drive, more or less, to get to James Madison. You can make it in a day. It might be a long day to Norfolk to play Old Dominion or to get to Myrtle Beach and play Coastal Carolina. So more people are able to travel more easily than, certainly you guys know it as well. Going to El Paso, Texas is quite a commitment. And so Conference USA was spread out even more. Not that the Sun Belt's not a wide geographic area, but you get more Marshall fans on the road. More fans come to Huntington with the visitors. And so that's been a positive. And just personally, I like the fact that the Sun Belt schools are more comparable. There are more towns like Huntington and Hattiesburg where the university is a big deal, as opposed to trying to get people in Houston interested in Rice or in Miami to take pay a lot of attention to Florida International. So the league, I think the schools are a bigger deal within their geographic areas, and I think that's been enjoyable.
Yeah, Steve, years ago, Scott Berry told me that the greatest atmospheres he coached in were the small communities that embraced their colleges. He loved that. He didn't really like going to Houston and places like that. So, yeah, what you say is exactly right. Hey, before we let you go, obviously when we have an opportunity to talk to you, Marshall's a great football program with a lot of tradition. But Marshall suffered, 54 years ago back in 1970, a tragedy that's just unbearably hard to imagine when you lost 75 coaches and football players in an air crash just short of the runway, returning home from a game in East Carolina. a lot of years under the bridge, so to speak. But you tell me that emotions to this day still run high about that, Steve.
Yeah, I have friends whose parents died in that terrible crash. The radio man for the 1970 team was named Gene Morehouse. His son, Keith Morehouse, is a television sports director here in Huntington, followed his dad's footsteps. He's a member of the Marshall broadcast crew on our televised games on ESPN Plus and all that sort of stuff. And he's not the only one, but he's one that a lot of people know and remember from that time, since his dad was such a well-known personality. But, and it, you know, you mentioned the players and the coaches, but it was also boosters, and those were your doctors in town, your politicians. And so everybody in the tri-state area knew someone and was personally affected by that day and what has come to pass after that. And so many children were orphaned. There were several instances where husband and wife were the boosters, and so the kids lost both of their parents that day. Just an unbelievable kind of thing to go through. And even all these years later, it is still, well, on November 14th, the anniversary of the crash, there will be a ceremony at the fountain. Anybody who saw the movie We Are Marshall saw the memorial fountain on campus. And there will be, depending on the weather and the day of the week, this time it's a Thursday at noon, so some people can get there, you know, easier when it's at night. But you'll have several hundred and even over 1,000 people more than 50 years later show up at that ceremony. So that shows you what kind of an impact and how people still want to pay their respects all these years later.
Events like that really just shape the community. And, you know, you see that, I'm sure there, how much of the community is also impacted with that certain event as far as the reunion coming back for the memorial.
Yeah, and there is, and I guess over time this might fade, but you still have so many people who were here and remember that day. And I think that buys Marshall something a little different from its support from the community. Everybody gets mad when you lose a football game, and we understand that, and that's a part of this business. But they also know the veterans, the people who are 60 and 70 years old and older than that, but, you know, gradually we lose those folks. But they know that losing a football game is not the end of the world compared to what happens in real life. So, yeah, and I think that has, all these years later, still tied the community and the school together more than you see maybe some places.
And actually, Coach Jack Lingle, who was portrayed by Matthew McConaughey in the movie, is still alive at 89 years old. He had the task of rebuilding the Marshall football program. But as we wind down here with the radio voice of the Thundering Herd, Steve Cotton. Steve, real quickly, the basketball Thundering Herd, great things are expected from them this year. In a nutshell, what's the basketball team going to look like?
Well, first-year coach in Corny Jackson, Coach Dan D'Antoni, had kind of groomed him. Corny is a Marshall grad. He was a point guard in the late 90s and early 2000s and then spent 8 years on Coach D'Antoni's staff, and he was groomed as the associate head coach and the coach-in-waiting. So when Coach D'Antoni's time came to an end last spring, Corny just slid one seat over. And he is an enthusiastic guy. He knows the system, knew the guys who were here already, so that made it a pretty smooth transition from that part of it. And he is Marshall through and through. He's a West Virginia native, just like Coach D'Antoni was. So it was a very natural and seamless transition there. Marshall's inside game is going to be more than solid. You have two preseason All-Sun Belt performers in fifth-year senior Obina Anacili-Killen. He was a second-team preseason all-conference pick, and first-team honors went to Nate Martin, who is, he averaged a double-double last year. So two big guys inside. If Marshall's backcourt, which has some new faces, some transfers there, is up to snuff, it ought to be a pretty solid team and a fun year of Marshall basketball.
Hey, Steve, we always enjoy our conversations with you. It's good to have you and the Herd back in town this weekend, and best of luck to you the rest of the season after Saturday, Steve.
All right, guys, looking forward to it.
All right, Steve Cotton, everybody. Thunder, he's a great guy. He's been on the show many times through the years.
And unfortunately, the Thundering Herd right this minute is indeed thundering.
They're playing really well.
Unfortunately, that's true.
All right, when we come back, Dean will have news and notes from around Southern Miss Athletics, and we'll get one final breakdown of Saturday's game. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, I want to thank Steve Cotton. Always great visit with Steve. Been on the show many times. Longtime voice of the Herd. And good football team coming in here Saturday. They're playing well. And as Steve described them, you know, they're going to be, I think, pretty much Kelly Center a handful.
And they've got a legitimate shot to win the East. And, I mean, what a way to rub the nose in the dirt of people who didn't think they had a chance this year. I mean, unfortunately for the Eagles, they're playing really well.
All right. This segment sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street. Great place for baseball, softball training, kids of every age, adults of every age, and a great place to do some Christmas shopping as well. News and notes, Dima Mixon.
Yeah, so first and foremost, this is just kind of a look around Southern Miss Athletics. Volleyball is back in action this Friday and Saturday. It is their final game of the season, their final home series this season. They take on the Troy Trojans. It's Thursday and Friday nights at 6 p.m. Friday is senior night for the volleyball team, and they will take on the Troy Trojans. They are out of the tournament aspects, but they still are playing this weekend. Women's basketball is in action tomorrow morning for the annual Education Day game, where they bring all the schools in to Reed Green Coliseum and let the kids come in and watch that game. That's always a fun time.
And the concession stand tomorrow morning, you know what the kids will be doing?
Eating it out.
They'll be eating the hot dogs. They'll be eating the hot dogs.
But they're going to be playing against Blue Mountain Christian College for the Education Day. Sorry, the title slipped my head, but Education Day. Southern Miss football is in action this week against Marshall, as we've talked about on the show already. It is Military Appreciation Day for the Golden Eagles against Marshall, and I have been hearing rumblings of some uniform throwbacks.
Throwbacks?
What are you hearing?
Not camouflage.
You'll have to wait and see to see if it's true, you know. So,
and that's a 2 o'clock kickoff again.
2 o'clock kickoff against Marshall. You can get in line early to get your tickets because it might be a big line.
Well, a lot of, you know, maybe some rain may be coming up Saturday too. So,
hey, on a side note, I had a conversation, exchanged some messaging with Coach Roy Lee McNellis, who was not at the basketball game.
Right.
And just to confirm, she suffered a back injury at her home, but she's just so tough. She says she's going to be back for the Blue Mountain game. When did you say that was?
Tomorrow morning.
Well, there 11 you a.m. go. Well, there you go. She's going to be back for that.
You know, I think she needs to be in President-elect Trump's cabinet. I mean, a tough customer, Joy Lee McNellis.
There's no question. And we're glad to hear that she's going to be back, obviously.
She could deal with some of those foreign leaders going, is that all you got? I mean, with all I've dealt with, you know?
Yeah. All right, Dima. Let's lay it on the line here. What chance do the Golden Eagles have Saturday to pull an upset?
I don't know. I mean, probably very little. I am very interested to see how the team responds when they don't have anything to really play for. Mm-hmm. And that is going to be something interesting to watch. Obviously, as Marshall's play-by-play caller just talked to us about, that Marshall running back is really good. Southern Miss has struggled to stop the run. It did stop the run pretty good against James Madison. We'll see if it pertains to Marshall. But, yeah, I'd say chances are pretty low.
9.5 yards a carry. He's averaging.
That's crazy.
So that's
is the week off at a good time, Kelly? I mean, you've got an interim coach here.
Oh, yeah.
You have time maybe to kind of just catch your breath a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, we kind of joke sometimes tongue-in-cheek about the season. But remember, the guys are still playing hard, and they do love the game, and they deserve – you know, to have fans out there
for sure,
you know, cheering them on. And it's just been a really tough situation all season long. And you know, it has been eerily quiet as far as potential candidates, you know, for this job. Part of it is the fact that potential candidates could still be working, you know, and probably are, you know, still working on different staffs. But I would suspect within the next 2 weeks we'll start hearing, you know, some names of people that interview. But look, it's no secret either that Jeremy McClain's got to get this right.
Right. And if you'll remember at his press conference, he said, the next time you hear from me, it'll be to introduce the new head coach.
So he knows how serious this is.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Jay Gruden, have you reached out to him like I asked you to, Kelly?
But Jay Gruden, Bob, but his brother,
John,
would probably be even more attractive based on his experience in the NFL.
Chucky.
Yeah.
Chucky, with Jay as the offensive coordinator.
John Gruden.
I can see it now.
You know?
I can see it now, yeah.
So, but you hear, you know, some fans, Ed Orgeron and some of these older guys. I would expect that whoever the new coach is going to be statistically a much younger person, full of some P&V. Piss and vinegar, can we say that? I guess I just did.
I think you just did.
Yeah, but, you know, somebody that also understands the transfer portal really well. And excuse me.
That's the shocker that we put on Kelly's body when he comes into the
show. Actually, I thought that was the shrimp salad I had for lunch. But anyway, somebody that's experienced with the transfer portal.
Hello.
that's used to dealing with it and you know, new names coming in and out all the time.
Dima, good looking hat you're wearing today, brother.
Oh, it's a good one.
It's gold and white, and I'll just leave it at that. Got two numbers on the side.
It does.
Big name on the front.
Big name on the front.
There we go. It's been quite a night, huh?
It was quite a
night. I'm going to go get some sleep since you called me at 1:30 in the morning.
We're going to make some mega hats. Make the Eagles great again.
I think that's a really good idea.
I do, too.
A really good idea.
Gold and
Kelly
black.
And I on the road tomorrow in Columbia. We really look forward to that. Lori and Caroline. And Kelly, they're going to feed us.
Come and see us in Columbia tomorrow.
It's going to be a great weekend to kick off Christmas in Columbia, Mississippi. Back tomorrow at 1. Thanks for listening today. Southern Miss.
To the top. Like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.